What we know about Bas Paro is that she's had an emotional response. Vatachmol alav. She had compassion on this child. Vatomer, and she recognizes, mi yaldei ha'ivrim zeh. This is a Jewish baby. And all of a sudden, Vatomer achoso al Bas Paro, ha'ileich shall I go, v'karasi loch for you, isha meinekes, a woman who will nurse this child. Min ha'ivrios, we'll come back to min ha'ivrios momentarily. V'senik loch es hayalad. What notion is Miriam introducing that upends the conventional wisdom about this story, Eliyah? Good. Did Bas Paro ever raise the specter, the possibility that this child would be... Did she say anything to that effect? Not a word. And so the conventional presentation, Yoni, of this section of the Chumash is highly misleading. We're all taught this story in such a way that, oh, Bas Paro saw Moshe floating in the Or, and she decided to adopt him, and then she needed somebody to nurse him. She decided to adopt him? Really? Whose contribution was that, Eli? Miriam. Miriam was the one who planted this idea. And it could not have come a moment too soon. Because if we're again differentiating between the Mialdos, whose decision was based on Yiras Elokim, a conviction, a theological conviction, it wasn't going to change. And Bas Paro, who also ends up in the same place, saving a Jewish child, the method, the mechanism could not be more different. Yiras Elokim versus Chemla. Chemla, because it's an emotion, can dissipate in a second. You feel one way today, and so often we feel very differently tomorrow. As such, speed is critical. Capitalizing on the opportunity is critical. Bas Paro here says very little. Miriam is the one who's doing the talking. Ha'ilech v'karas silach isha menekes mina ebrios v'sinik lach es hayalad. Next pasuk, v'tomer labas paro lechi. One word. She's almost in a state of shock, it would seem. So Miriam has been able to act with great speed, enormous courage, but also great wisdom and human insight. Max, had she waited, hachmatzat sha'a, right? Had she waited, it's entirely possible that Bas Paro's feelings of compassion would dissipate. Maybe Moshe would stop crying. V'hinei nar bocheh triggers and catalyzes a certain emotional response. Yaakov. Here you have a very young girl who not only has the courage to interact with the princess of Egypt, we all know there are young children who are afraid to talk to adults in general, but she's leading her by the nose. She's the one who's directing her path. Well, that itself is extraordinary. Let's come back now to the issue that we raised, min ha'ivrios. Seems rather audacious. If this is going to be somebody to nurse this baby for the princess of Egypt, surely she would want somebody from the ruling class, especially if this child is going to become her own. She doesn't want this child stigmatized as a Jew. She wants this child to be raised as a good Egyptian child. So we find three approaches to this in the Rishonim. Yoni, what would your suggestion be as to how exactly Miriam thinks that this is going to be the more viable pathway forward? Why would one seek min ha'ivrios? So the Malbim says exactly that, that this was all divinely ordained, that Moshe should at least have an exposure to his family. But it seems like a very audacious suggestion to present to the princess of Egypt, right? This doesn't seem like something she would want. So we find three approaches to this problem, and it is a problem in the Mefarshim. Anybody want to try to anticipate one of the answers? How could it be that Bas Paro would willingly go along with this idea to have an Egyptian? She wishes for this child to be an Egyptian, to be her child. How could she possibly agree that a Jewish woman should nurse this child? Ari, that's amazing. Okay, so Rashi gives an approach which is midrashic in nature that gets to the heart of this issue. Rashi says the question is so powerful we can't answer it. Bas Paro would have never agreed to this unless they had tried on a repeated basis to have Moshe nurse from an Egyptian, and Moshe simply refused. The pair that was Osid Dabi Mashchina was not going to be connected to an Egyptian woman of questionable morality in that way. So that's the approach of Rashi. But Eliyahu, Rashi's conceding the high ground, is he not?
Yeah.
He's saying, yeah, well, there's no way Bas Paro would agree to this. What's another possibility, and I want you to think about in terms of Vayakutsu Mipnei Bnei Yisrael, Eli?
I was going to say, part of her having compassion had an effect on, like, in the moment, because she said to Bas Paro, Miriam said to Bas Paro so quickly, oh, do you want me to find someone? She like didn't really have time to react because she was so compassionate.
That is an outstanding approach, that Miriam has her in a state of just being stunned at this stage. Okay? That's very well done. Not to the best of my knowledge represented in any of the classical Mefarshim, but a highly important contribution that Bas Paro is almost stunned. She's not reacting. Right? This is almost, especially because it's subsumed under something much larger. And the much larger point is the prospect of adoption to begin with. Akiva followed by Yoni.
It could be that unlike her father, she doesn't feel that it's right how the Egyptians are treating the Jews, and she wants to save another Jew by letting them work in her house.
Fascinating. Another fascinating idea, though of course it's not clear that that, you know, will be true, that she'll actually take the child into her house. That we'll get to tomorrow. But that's an important point. Yoni.
I'm assuming
okay, so a little bit of a spin on that. The Chizkuni says, no Egyptian woman would ever have been willing to nurse a Jewish child at this point. That the dehumanization was so complete that an Egyptian woman would not do this for a Jewish child. It would be like nursing a rodent or vermin. Vayakutsu mibnei Yisrael. So Daniel, this then becomes a way of testing the outer limits of the full process of dehumanization. Vayakutsu mibnei bnei Yisrael, a sense of katsu v'chayehem, the repugnance, the revulsion, that sense of, to borrow a halachic expression from a different context, mukta machmas mios. That would be a second approach. The Sfarno has yet a third approach to this problem, before we pause to summarize and distill. Mr. Mazin. An outstanding suggestion.
And if it was a Jew, she thought that he would think, oh, I want to be a disgusting people, and he would want to go back to being about Paro, but if it's not Egyptian, he would just get attached.
That was another very, very creative suggestion. Outstanding. That she would perceive competition. Now, in fairness, one could counter and say, no Egyptian woman in their right mind is going to challenge the right of Bas Paro to this child, but I thought that was a very creative, highly original interpretation, very thought-provoking. Eli, Akiva, Daniel, Eliyah.
Maybe to an extent, Bas Paro also recognized that since it was a Jewish child, it had to be hidden, as we said before. Like, she couldn't really go around saying, oh, I have a child now that's Jewish. She had to like really keep it very low-key. And Miriam said, do you want me to find you a Jewish woman that nurses? She's like, okay, fine, go quickly, type of thing.
Okay, so I can't discount that. Akiva?
I don't get the Hiskuni's opinion, because why would any of the Egyptians know that it was a Jewish baby once she took it into her house and she was hiding it for a while? No one would question if the whole point of her hiding
it was a question of a prejudice.
But if they wouldn't know it was Egyptian and they thought it was literally
that Boss suspicion Paro, was always going to be there. After all, she hadn't even been pregnant. It's a highly suspicious situation. Daniel of the House of Grin. Ariel of the House of Wallen.
How is it that Paro let baby keep going out of his way to kill all these Jewish babies?
You're getting ahead of yourself. You're presuming that Paro has any knowledge of this.
Miriam doesn't even need to check. Oh, let me go get you a nurse. She says, I'm going to get you a nurse.
Or, ha'elich. There is an interrogative component there.
Or, yeah.
It's an inquisitive, that's an inquisitive form.
She's kind of like,
Now, it's obviously suggestive. It's what you would call a leading question. Okay. Now, the Sforno makes a third argument, Daniel. And the Sforno's argument is predicated on the fact that Bas Paro, you remember, you'll hear shades of the Ibn Ezra, Vatero Sokitovu, the Ibn Ezra had pointed out that he was very comely and handsome, even despite the fact that he was born premature, and that Bas Paro thought that this child was unique in its aesthetic properties. So there was a theory, this Sforno points this out, that if a Jewish child would nurse from a Jewish mother, that would be much better for that child's development, as opposed to using a foreign milk source. And so that it was playing on Bas Paro's idea, right, that really what she wanted was what was best for this child. So three different approaches. Again, the approach of Rashi is, the question is so powerful that, of course, Bas Paro would have been unwilling to use a Jewish woman a priori. It was only when that failed, Pesha Asi Ledaber Mashchina, number one. A second approach, again, very different in its orientation, suggests that no Egyptian woman with any self-respect would ever nurse a Jewish child. Vayakutsu mipnei b'nei Yisrael. And third, and finally, the Sforno's contention that Miriam had very little trouble convincing Bas Paro that this would be in the child's best interest. So those are the three approaches that we have in the Mefarshim. Let me just put them on the board. Okay, go ahead. Andy. Vatomer la Bas Paro lechi, and Bas Paro is able to express just one word. Okay, so she's now all of a sudden referred to as an Alma, a much older girl. Rashi says, Holcha bizrizos the almus ke'elem, right? That she walked with speed and with alacrity like even a young male teenager. Now, Rashi seems to be highlighting, I think, a very, very important point here. Rashi is highlighting which dimension, Eli, that we noted before was absolutely critical, given the fact that Bas Paro is having an emotional response. Exactly right. She needs to get Moshe, you know, as quickly as possible under the custody of a Jewish woman. Now, which Jewish woman, of course, is she going to find without in any way disclosing that? Right. The mother of the child. And that is Rashi's approach. The Chizkuni quotes the other approach in the Gemara. This is Vatele Ha'alma. Okay, Max, go ahead in the Chizkuni. Kari La'alma. Why is she referred to here as an Alma? Al-Shem Sheha'elima, the Gemara says, es divareha, that she concealed her words. The Chizkuni understands that to mean Sheha'elima Shehi Achoso, that she conceals the fact that she is indeed the sister of this child. And that's why Ha'alma, that she's withholding information. Now, I might suggest a third approach, which I think in many respects can encapsulate both Rashi as well as the Chizkuni. Miriam, Vatelech Ha'alma, I think that Torah gives her a description of acting as a much older woman, as a teenager in a sense, because her level of sophistication and her level of courage and maturity is nothing that you would associate with a five-year-old, which she was, but somebody of far greater maturity, someone of far greater awareness, situational awareness, someone of far greater insight and wisdom. So Vatelech Ha'alma, I think, encapsulates both physical aspects of that. She knew she had to move very quickly. Bas Paro is having an instinctive and emotional response which has not been well thought out, as many of you have pointed out. How is she going to explain this to her father one day? This is far from being, you know, a simple kind of a thing that she's taking on. So it does have, as Rashi highlights, physical dimensions to it. Halcha b'zrizus. And yet it also has cognitive and mental components to it. Allah v'chizkuni, sheha'elima es divareha. That she was able to, in her wisdom, not share all of the information. Bas Paro, had she known that this was Moshe's sister, might have felt that she was set up. It might immediately change her point of view about everything, Yoni, that was transpiring. She might have drawn the conclusion that maybe this child was undeserving of her chemla, of her compassion. Right? So the more spontaneous this all seems, the more likely Bas Paro's sense of compassion will persist, at least for as long as it takes to retain custody over the child under royal protection, which is exactly the end game here. So yes, Ha'alma, like Rashi says, has physical components. Halcha b'zrizus. Yes, like the Chizkuni says, it has cognitive components, that she didn't disclose all the information that she might have, but she needed to obscure that information. Now for the Chizkuni, that means knowing that it was, of course, the sister. I would equally apply She'alimu es tivareha, that she never told Bas Paro that the woman that she was going to get was the mother. Now why is that critical for her to obscure that piece of information? And some of you came pretty close to this before. Yaakov?
She would know that, like, it could be the same thing as saying that she is Moshe's sister, because if she knows Moshe's mother, then she would know that it may have been set up and
But what's an even more present danger? Joe Mann?
That if she says that she's known to the real mother of the child, it will lose that emotional connection that Bas Paro has.
Precisely. This is the great threat, that she will never really get this child back. Surrogacy is very complicated stuff. Not always so simple. To make it very clear, and sometimes people carry a child and say, you know what, I don't want to give it up. Not able to separate myself from this child. So the idea of the actual birth mother would have been a profound threat. There's no question about that. And so, he'elima es tivareha, I don't think it only means what the Chizkuni says, namely that she was a sister. I would go beyond that and say that it relates to the fact that Yocheved is the mother. Isha meinekes min ha'ivrios. Right? She knew exactly what she was doing. And as such, she behaved with much greater responsibility. So here we kind of a parallelism, right? Moshe, who of course is but an infant of 3 months old, is described as a na'ar. Miriam, who's a girl of 5, is described as an alma. What's parallel about those two things? Quite clearly. They're both being described as much older than they are. And therein is the nature of these circumstances in life, that these kinds of desperate times force children, of course, to grow up very, very quickly and to assume greater responsibility she really is, in many respects, no longer a Yalda, but actually an Alma. Let's take...